T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen as I sing all about the king. You can hear him all the time on the Eagles sidelines. He looks nice in his fur coat. Nitwit, moron, and dope are his favorite quotes. He cheers the wins and he boos the losses. He interviews athletes and mob bosses. He's an all-time Philly guy, a graduate of Northeast High. You can't get enough of Howard Eskin on WIP. That's why he's got this podcast. So listen up, because he's ready to speak.
Welcome to another edition of the Howard Eskin podcast on a beautiful time in Philadelphia. We're still waiting for football, and that's what we want. We're waiting for the draft. And that's what we want, too. But it'll be a little hard to go through that entire first round. I don't think the Eagles will move up in the draft. If anything, I think they'll trade out of the first round to try to get multiple picks. But we'll see. We'll have time to talk about that. They just don't have enough. They don't have enough draft picks to move up. And even if you move up spots, you don't want to give up more draft picks. And that's a problem. But this week, primarily... the primary part of the Howard Eskin podcast this week, and thanks for subscribing on iTunes or listening on iTunes. The head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, a team that will be in contention, serious contention, and I see no reason why they shouldn't make the playoffs. They have loaded up pretty good, but some interesting stuff with their head coach, Sean McVay. Some interesting stuff about Eagles head coach Doug Peterson, and one of the things we talk about is the head coach of the year, which Sean McVay had received. We'll talk about that. Leadership, what it means, chemistry, chemistry means in a locker room. He's a young coach. He's a new coach. We'll talk more after we hear from the Rams head coach, Sean McVay.
All right, I'm with the coach of the year in the NFL, although that's not a good thing in Philadelphia.
Right.
Sean, I'm trying to figure out, do you hear what goes on the other side of the country when you're voted as a coach of the year and the guy there...
And, you know, hey, listen, sure. You did a great job.
No, you know what? I think it goes to show the loyalty that the Eagles fans have, and it's hard to argue. You know, they won the head-to-head against us. They won the Super Bowl. Certainly, if I was voting, he would get my vote. And, you know, I think it's a credit to what Coach Peterson, really the staff, and then, you know, you look at just the resiliency that the Eagles showed throughout the course of the year, being able to overcome injuries. When you talk about being a connected team, I think they were the epitome of what it looked like this year. And, you know, really can't say enough about the respect I have for what they were able to accomplish. And, you know, Coach Peterson definitely is deserving of that. I think they have every right to feel that way.
You know, I don't want to bring back, and it's not a bad memory. You had a great year, great season. But that game kind of was pivotal for the Eagles.
Yeah.
They won the NFC East that day. It gave people confidence in Nick Foles. What do you remember about that game?
Well, I'll tell you what I remember is, you know, you look at how well they were playing up to the Seattle game, and, you know, they face a really tough Seattle team, and what says as much as anything about them is their ability to respond. And back-and-forth battle, you know, a lot of plays that, you know, could have changed the momentum of the game, but they just kept fighting, kept battling. I thought when Nick did come in, you know, what a lot of huge amount of respect you have for Carson throwing a touchdown pass to Jeffrey. He makes a great catch on the fourth down. And then when Nick comes in, he made enough plays to be able to win the game. You know, some big special teams plays that were kind of instrumental in the outcome. And then, you know, you can't say enough about Chris Long's rush, you know, on the play action where he forces the fumble, gets him the ball in field goal range. Where now, you know, we were up one at the time. But there was a lot of plays that demonstrate why they're a special team and why they were Super Bowl champs this year.
Okay, Sean, you had a really good team. Obviously, a coach, and I saw it with the Eagles, needs guys in the locker room to lead, but they need the chemistry. Did you find that as a young coach that these guys came together a lot quicker than you thought they would as far as the chemistry?
Yeah, you know, I think it's about the people. And you know, any organization's greatest asset are its people. And I think when you look at it as far as just finding and establishing your core group of players that are influencing and affecting the locker room in the right way, you know, for us, it was really good to be able to bring an Andrew Whitworth in with a Gurley and a Goff already in place, Robert Woods, and he was instrumental in our offense, John Sullivan. Then you look on the defensive side of the ball, you've got special players like Aaron Donald, you know, Alec Ogletree, who was some of the best with the Giants, but there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, Connor Barwin, a guy that you guys are familiar with, you know,
Connor's
he was voted
a
captain on, he really is, but I think you see the same types of things when you just look at what you guys were able to do, and that's what it's about. It's about these players, and I thought, you know, just the epitome, like I said, of just being resilient, responding the right way, kind of that next man up mentality, and then I thought you could really see the belief that Coach Peterson displayed in the players, and that belief then ends up leading to a confidence, and guys go get it done.
Sean, as a head coach, when a guy gets injured, especially in football, you got to say next man up, and I've always perceived it from my end of the world in the media side, that's a lot of BS. But in some cases it is, but how important and how does it happen where, I know you don't know the Eagles, but in your case, everybody's had injuries. When you say next man up, how important is for guys to respond?
I think it's extremely important, and next man up might also mean that somebody else is going to be required to take on a responsibility or a role. As coaches, our job is to adapt and to evolve to the situations that are presented to us, and the players as well. And I think when you look at it, you know, especially just from the quarterback position, can't say enough about Coach Peterson and the staff with Coach Reich and Coach DeFilippo being able to adjust and adapt the system to kind of, all right, here's what Carson did such a great job of, going 33 touchdowns, 7 picks, and then here comes Nick, and you find a way to put him in situations. And I thought it was, you know, you could see he truly played with a quieted mind throughout those playoffs. I heard him talk about it in interviews, and it showed up with the confidence and the swagger that the team, and especially he, played with really throughout the playoffs.
What do you think? And I don't know how much you think back, because you were still in the season. You hear Carson Wentz has a torn ACL.
Yeah.
That touchdown he threw was with a torn ACL.
Yeah.
What does that say about Carson Wentz?
You know, that kind of just says it all right there. You know, tough player, great competitor. You know, you can see an elite competitor, and really a mentally and physically tough player. And I thought it was, you know, such a great job, great display of kind of who he is and what he was throughout the course of the season. And then just watching his sideline demeanor in terms of how he found a way to be able to be a positive leader in spite of not maybe being able to play on the field. And, you know, that's a credit to him, and that's why the Eagles are in good hands with that guy leading the way.
How tough is it to get a young quarterback after your guy didn't have the greatest rookie year and then to come back and accomplish what he did in this last season?
Well, I think it's a credit to Jared. You know, he did a great job of not really letting that first year faze him at all. Went to work, just looked, you know, inwardly as far as taking accountability for what he could do to be a part of the solution. And,
right.
You know, football is the greatest team sport there is. I thought he had 10 guys around him where they were able to kind of be on the same page. I think what says as much about Jared as anything, Howard, is just his ability to grow throughout the season, where really becoming an extension of the coaching staff. And, you know, we expect him to continue to take steps. We know that ability to sustain it is what makes it challenging. And consistency is that truest measurement of performance. And we're looking for another consistent year from Jared, but we only do that one day at a time.
And you play the Eagles again this year. I know you can't look forward to one, especially as a head coach,
sure.
Sean. But that's kind of, for your players, that might be kind of a big game.
Yeah, I think so. And it depends on whenever it fits, because it'll be the next game whenever we focus on the Eagles. You know?
You guys are beautiful.
Yeah, but it's the truth. You know, I really think, you know, when you look at it, especially this past season, oftentimes you can get ahead of yourself and, you know, you realize that you got to wipe the slate clean. You know, you got to recommit every single year to doing things the right way consistently, one day at a time. And we're big believers in that. And that's exactly kind of the focus and point of emphasis that we'll have as we move forward. And it's going to be a great challenge for us.
I hate to call you a young coach because your experience as a coach,
sure,
within the NFL. But you are, in the grand scheme of things, a young coach. Okay, you are young. And how tough is it? And I don't know what the media is like in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it's like in Philadelphia.
It's not like Philly.
So you didn't have to worry about...
Well, you know, I think what you like about L.A. is, you know, it is another media market where, you know, you've got a great opportunity to use the platform in the right way. I think what's a little bit different about L.A. is there's so many different unique things going on that if you're not producing and if you're not winning, there's other things that people go to. They just lose interest. So, you know, it's a great city, though. It's a football city. You could feel, especially as the season progressed, you look at the atmosphere, and a lot of it, unfortunately, were fans in green. But just looking at the atmosphere, even at the Coliseum, as the season built, going to the Eagles game, and then really our game against the Falcons in that playoff atmosphere. Yeah. Those were fun, where you felt like you want to make sure you continue to provide a good product that the fans can be proud of, and you know, that's going to be the challenge moving forward.
Okay, so you're a young coach. Is it hard to get the players to kind of buy into what you want to do?
Well, I think it's about connecting with them. You know, first we always talk about building and establishing relationships, and the players have ownership in terms of what we preach day in and day out. I think what's unique about being able to coach professionals is that there's a mutual respect that exists. These are grown men we're dealing with, and our job is to try to figure out how can we collaborate and figure out the best way to put our players in good situations, to put our team in good situations, to ultimately try to accomplish wins week in and week out. And when you've got the right types of players in the locker room, you can empower them. They take that sense of ownership and accountability, and then really, you know, that's where, you know, you win games with these players. And
so with that, Okay, Connor Barr, when I saw in Philadelphia, he to me is a special guy.
Stud.
How important is a guy, is just a Connor Barr when in your locker room?
Yeah, instrumental. You know, I think what says as much about Connor as anything Howard is, you know, you come into a place, it's your first year, and he's just was so consistent in the way that he went about his work. He's a pro's pro, and then he gets voted as a captain by his teammates.
Wow.
And I think, you know, that's one of the biggest compliments you can get. And then you just watch, you know, he broke his forearm this year against the Saints, missed a couple weeks, but watching the way that he is intentional about authentically and genuinely trying to help these younger guys develop. Watching the way he took a Samson Ekuban under his arm and really kind of helped guide him. You know, that's what's special. And when you're able to witness that, you realize, all right, people like this, you win with guys like that, and you want to have as many of those guys as possible.
So to close, to repeat again, you would have voted for Doug Peterson as coach of the year.
You can't argue that. I mean, hey, they won the head-to-head. They go 13-3. They're the one seed. They win the Super Bowl. Hey, that resume, it kind of speaks for itself.
Okay, Sean, my pleasure. Thanks.
Chemistry really is so important, but isn't it interesting? And I don't know if he really meant it, but he made a good argument for Doug Peterson to be the coach of the year. He beat them, had a better record, was the number one seed, so why wasn't he the coach of the year? And he lost his quarterback and lost players, everything that fit into it. Doug Peterson, there's no question, should have been the coach of the year, but it's over, it's done with. It gives them something to shoot for next season. But chemistry, and it really, really, really is important in a locker room. And not every team has it, and teams lose because they don't have it. Sean McVay made some interesting comments. Obviously, I would say a good coach because he's done a good job. He didn't have all the players, but he put some real good pieces together, and he had a quarterback that he got to play. So we'll hear from more coaches down the line in the NFL. Kyle Shanahan, I've spoken to. We'll hear from Kyle Shanahan. It's just interesting the perspective that other coaches have when they look at the Philadelphia Eagles and they see what the Eagles have done and how they did it. But it's coming up on another season and the draft. It will be interesting. I don't know what they can do to kind of turn it around. And I know people were looking forward to hearing the announcement of Super Bowl, when it's in Dallas, Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles with the 32nd pick. And then you hear, well, they've traded the pick back. So we'll have to wait. If they do that, I hope they don't feel pressure to have to make a draft pick on the first day. If they do that, it would go to the second day because there's only one round in the first day of the NFL draft. All right, other things to talk about is your baseball team. Now, depending on when you listen to this, the fans continue to boo the manager, Gabe Kapler, as he comes out to the mound to make pitching changes, which in the course of the season, he will probably set, if there was ever a record, Gabe Kapler will set a record for the amount of times that he has gone out to the mound and made pitching changes. There's no question he will set a record. He just continues to change pitchers. This analytics nonsense is now out of control. It really is. We're losing the game. Why don't we just get a computer science major to sit in the dugout and just manage the baseball team based on all the charts and all the analytics? The day he brought Nick Williams in 50 feet in the outfield was ridiculous.
the different things he does, not playing Scott Kingery every day, and he's going to have to play him every day. And by the time you listen to this, maybe he's starting to play him every day. J.P. Crawford, I just don't think can hit major league pitching. And that's a problem. And Gabe Kapler rolls out this, well, he gets an average, you know, he has the pitcher work an average of 4.5 pitches and at bat. I don't care. You've got to get base hits once in a while. It can't just be all about walks. You've got to get base hits. And if you don't, and when he starts off his season 1-for-23, in one stretch, he was 0-for-16. You have got to do something. And Scott Kingery, although he's not a shortstop, and I hear people say, well, he's not a shortstop, he's a second baseman. Well, the player you have at second base, Cesar Hernandez, is a really good second baseman for the Phillies right now. I don't even know if they really want to trade him. So Scott Kingery may end up being a shortstop, because I know the Phillies will try to sign a third baseman, and Machado would be the player that they would look at. But that's another problem. Can they sign free agents with Gabe Kapler as their manager? Would a player want to come here with Gabe Kapler as the manager? If I can answer my own question, I would say no. They would not want to come here with Gabe Kapler as the manager, because there's too many things left to non-baseball things, analytics. A player is good or a player is not good. What analytics is not figuring into a lot of times, because it's changing in baseball, and I think it's changing for the worst. They're not figuring strikeouts in, because players know they get more money for hitting home runs than striking out. It is absolutely ridiculous. I think Giancarlo Stanton is a great, we all know he's a great player. But he's had two games early in the season where he struck out five times each game, because he doesn't care about strikeouts. Now, he's always got his money, so it's not about a contract, but they just love the long ball. They love home runs, and that's not good for the game. And Gabe Kapler, it seems like 95% of the things he does are based on analytics. So when people boo him when he comes out to the mound, I know it's pent up. It really is pent up frustration, absolutely pent up frustration by Phillies fans when he comes to the mound, and they're going to continue to boo him. And right now, I absolutely have no problem with that. Sometimes you have to have a feel for the game. And I don't think Gabe Kapler ever thinks about a feel for a game. Everything's based on charts and analytics, and it's not the way to manage the game. And I know it's happening a lot in baseball, but it is kind of ridiculous. So if you want to boo, go ahead and boo. I'm not suggesting that you boo, but I have no problem with people booing Gabe Kapler. He's not the right guy. He's just not the right guy to manage this team. And the team is a better team. When you hear comments coming from players, well, if he just gets out of our way, anonymously, if he just gets out of our way, you a good team? Well, if he just gets out of our way, if the manager gets out of our way. And then Nick Williams openly, they said he apologized. He meant what he said. Well, it depends on what the computer says. And listen, I think Nick Williams is basically an average player. But that doesn't matter. Things are done by the computer. Now we get to the 76ers. Again, depending on when you hear this, I think they will win the first round. They'll play it doesn't matter. The only team that I think would give them trouble, they're not going to play them. I don't think they're going to play them. Again, when I'm doing this, they should win the last two games of the season, which would put them into the third seed. They get into the fourth seed, they're going to play Indiana. That's the only team that I think could have or could give them trouble, depending on when you hear this. The other teams, you don't worry about Miami, you don't worry about Milwaukee, and you don't worry about Washington. You don't worry about any of those teams. What you do worry about is knowing that playoff basketball, maybe not in the first round, in the second round, and I think the Sixers will have no problem getting to the second round. What you do worry about when you get to the second round is better teams playing better defense and packing it in. And I don't know that the Sixers are a good enough half-court team.
Now, they're better because of the additions and all these people that loved Sam Hinkie. That's great. You can love them. But without Brian Colangelo getting J.J. Redick, Ilya Sova, and Bellinelli, the 76ers would not be a 50-plus win a basketball team. It just wouldn't have happened. And they wouldn't be good enough to win a playoff round. And they wouldn't have been good enough to have a home court. So you can say what you want. I love those people want it both ways. Well, if they win, it's Sam Hinkie. If they lost, they blame Brian Colangelo. You can't have it both ways. You cannot have it both ways. But we'll see what happens in the playoffs because teams will play better defensively. And that means if they play better defensively, there'll be foul shots. And Ben Simmons is just going to have to be better at the foul line. I know this is sacrilegious in Philadelphia, but just I will say this because it's the truth. When you look at Rookie of the Year, I think it was foolish for Ben Simmons to say he's Rookie of the Year 100%. You got to have some humility. And I don't want to hear people say, well, you don't have humility. Yes, I do. I understand what you can say and what you should say. You shouldn't say I'm 100%. Donovan Mitchell has had a great year. Donovan Mitchell has carried the Utah Jazz, carried them to a home court advantage in the playoffs, carried them. Second half of the season, he's averaged over 25 points a game. He's got some ridiculous number, and I'm trying to remember what it was. Scored 28 or more times in a single season than all but two players in NBA history. I know Ben Simmons with his 12 triple-doubles triple-doubles mean almost nothing anymore in the NBA. But I don't know how you could have a Rookie of the Year. And I'm trying to be honest with you. And I know Ben Simmons is a 76er, and I know he's got tremendous skills and can do a lot of things. But the one thing he can't do is shoot and won't shoot from 15 feet. How can you have a Rookie of the Year who can't even doesn't even want to take a jump shot from 15 feet and can't make a jump shot from 15 feet. He does a lot of other things very, very well. And just remember I said that. He does a lot of other things very, very well. However, some of his game is lacking. When you say Donovan Mitchell doesn't have triple-doubles, well, he's a two-guard. So he's supposed to score, and that's what he's done. And he has literally carried the Utah Jazz, where you've got to say the Sixers also wouldn't have had the record they had without Joel Embiid, who obviously is the best player on the team when he's healthy. All right, well, I'm sure we'll talk about this more in the weeks ahead. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm not sure who we're going to have next week on the Howard Eskin podcast, but it's likely to be Kyle Shanahan, who's the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, another team that's on the rise. But we'll have some other people and some other coaches and football people, and then we'll talk about the draft and we'll do all those things coming up. And the schedule. The schedule may be out within the next 10 days. I don't know the exact date when we record this. It'll be out possibly before our next podcast. But again, thanks for joining. Subscribe on iTunes if you choose to do so. The Howard Eskin Podcast, which is available on iTunes. And thanks. And again, I hope you enjoyed the interview, the conversation that I had with the Rams coach, Sean McVay.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.